Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
You have to wonder if Stanton had heard this game changer. Do you follow him on Instagram, Plow?
I do not.
Duck?
I do not. Duck.
He posted last night, Doug. He was at Prime 112 with Marcell Ozuna, having what they called the Last Supper. Little video of Stanton and Ozuna at Prime. You ever hit that Prime 112 in your days in Miami?
No.
Holy
I'm not
moly,
sure it was even there.
Cockatoli. No. Holy moly, cockatoli.
Joe's Stone Crab was the big place.
It's just to the south of Prime 112, and I've dined there. And when I dined there, you know who was there? Do you know?
You told us once. Can I have initials to
E-H. E-H. Somebody you probably aren't a fan of.
Ethan Hawke.
Eric Hosmer.
Oh, no, Eric Hosmer.
No, it wasn't Eric Hosmer. That was just a Plowhawk having his own show. Eric Holder.
Oh, Attorney General.
That's right. That's right. He was not the Attorney General at the time, but he was dining there. I only dine with the heaviest of hitters in Washington.
Did he say adult film stars.
No, he didn't seem to recognize me, and I was kind of insulted.
That's an upset.
Blown off. Hey, look, everybody. He's become really a friend of the show. And he seems to be in the know on everything.
I got to meet him.
You got to meet Craig Mish. Yeah, he's with us right now on the Appliances Counter phone lines. Morning, Craig.
Okay, so before we start, let me give you some Joe Stone crab tips. Okay?
Oh, Doug, here's a pro tip.
Pay the maitre d'.
Give you a couple.
Yeah.
On the way out, a 10 or 20 will help. Okay. I go there a lot. I was just there last week. I was going to go tonight, but I'll give you a little hot tip to kind of like celebrate a few people wanted to go out with me tonight.
Okay.
But if you're going to have stone crabs and you're going to go to Joe's, you don't want to go when it's cold.
Why?
That's the only time that the crabs actually stick a little bit to the shell. And since they're so fresh and they get them almost every single day, it's best to go when it's warmer, which is 95% of the time here in South Florida. But right now it actually is, as you guys know, in the 40s and 50s. So next week would be a better time. And my biggest celebrity sighting ever at Joe's was many, many years ago. And we don't have to get into too many details because I'm sure we won't. But O.J. Simpson was the guy that I saw.
Was this pre-1994 or was this a little more recent?
It was post. It was post.
Wow.
I was there once.
Was he dining alone, reading the newspaper?
Doug, that's a no. Again, I'm sorry.
Was OJ dining alone reading the newspaper? Was the question.
Was he dining alone? No, he had people with him. And in fact, I remember the story goes is that the former wide receiver of the Redskins and also played University of Miami, Santana Moss, was there. He was sitting next to him and had no idea who he was. And he asked me because I knew him from covering the game. I know. I said, you know who that is? It's Santana Moss. I mean, it's OJ. He goes, really? I'm like, yeah.
I was at Joe's once in the mid-80s, had a really good table, wasn't sat down for 3 minutes, and the maitre d' came up and said, I have another table for you now. I said, no, this one's fine. No, I have another table for you now. And literally took my elbow and said, and led us to a table right by the kitchen, the noisiest, worst table. And someone else was led to our table. We literally had our table bought out from underneath.
And it was the wonderful Andy Gibb.
I don't know who it was. But you can buy somebody's table, apparently.
I saw Cal Ripken there. We went with Tim McCarver, me and Danny Mack. And Cal Ripken came over to see Cal and then had to shake our hands like we were part of it. So that's the blessing of being with Tim McCarver.
It's wild.
The reason we were talking Joe Stonecrab, I don't know how long you were on hold, Craig, is because of Stanton's Instagram post last night, a video of him in Ozuna at Prime 112, which is, of course, right next to or close to Joe's Stonecrab, and they were having what they called the Last Supper together.
I mean, it does appear that way, and they won't be seeing each other, I suppose. Until I think the Yankees may play in Jupiter. I have to check on that. I think there is a chance of that happening, so they would see each other then. But look, they spent a lot of time together in the minors, in the majors. I think we're going back maybe as far as 2011, 2012. So that's a long time, 7-8 years. And I put out the other day that Stanton was the last of the Florida Marlins. Remember when they switched from Florida to Miami? He was the last of it. And then Ozuna was the longest tenured after that. So I think we're down to like Christian Yelich maybe, and I don't even know how after that.
He seems really excited about the opportunity to stay.
Mm.
Yelich, yeah, no, not so much.
Fans,
no, he before it happened, before they traded Stanton, he already had, you know, I mean, they're saying all the right things about it, Jim, but, you know, he talked to them before this all happened. And they sat down, by the way, a lot of players, not just him, and told them what could be. And, you know, they got really good responses, by the way, from a lot of their players, including Ozuna, who said that he would love to stay in Miami. And JT Realmuto, who said, hey, look, you guys got to do what you got to do. And then when they got to Yelich, well, you know, didn't go as well. So they're saying all the right things now. My guess is it's being reported he's going to stay. You'd have to be really silly to think that it's at least not a 50-50 proposition. My guess is they'll wait a couple weeks from now. You'll hear we spoke to him. He preferred his preference to leave. We'll do our best to try to move him. And then eventually they'll move him too, I think.
What do you think the Cards are getting in Ozuna? You know him as well as anyone, not just a player, but a guy in the clubhouse, fan-friendly, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, this is really great. I'm so happy that we get to talk about this because I've been on with you guys a million times. And again, this is no indictment on Stanton, and this is no indictment on Yelich or no indictment on anybody else on the team. But this guy is a fun guy to be around. And I really thought about what I wanted to say specifically this morning in terms of the Cardinals. Now, you guys are around him every day. Jim, of course, you know too. And I felt last year, in to tell a short story, I felt that the idea with bringing in Dexter Fowler was this idea that, oh, we're going to be more fun and we're going to, you know, they went on that crazy trip one time during the week. Oh, wow, we're going crazy. We don't know where we're going. I felt like the whole thing was kind of forced. You know, it was forced. Like, these are not a bunch. And listen, Adam Wainwright is probably my favorite person in baseball. I follow his charity. I've covered his charity. He's a great guy, fun guy. But, you know, he pitches every fifth day. He's serious. There's a bunch of serious guys there, and Dexter had too much pressure on him. This is the guy that's going to make things fun. He's not a leader, but he's a goofy kind of guy. You know, he'll run up to you behind the camera and mess up your hair. He threw the glove once at the ball in the outfield and like didn't know he couldn't do that. And meanwhile, he's hitting 30-40 home runs. He'll talk to you every game after the game. When people say at winter warm-up, hey, you know, you only have 30 minutes with Marcell Ozuna, he's going to give you an hour and a half. He's not going to stop. Like, this is the perfect guy for this team. They should have done this a year ago. This is the kind of guy that's going to keep things loose. He's going to have fun. He's going to do English interviews, Spanish interviews. His English is not perfect, but he'll try as hard as he can to make it work. A fantastic addition off the field for the Cardinals. I could not speak any higher of him.
We don't speak a lot of English in St. Louis. It's mostly Spanish, so he'll be all right with that, too.
It's a diverse, diverse area.
Right. I think one thing that kind of flies under the radar is he's an outstanding outfielder, too. He's Gold Glover in left field.
He climbed that wall last year a couple times in left field to make those catches, and he has pretty good range. He has a really good arm, and I think whether he's in left, and I'm assuming, I guess that's the plan, right? If he's in left or he's in right, I think that he'll be fine. Look, and he's a two-time All-Star. You have to ask yourself this question, and it's a fair question. Did we see the best of him last year? It's definitely a fair assessment because he really came into his own. Like, he did things that we had never seen before. But even if he's somewhere in between what he was 2 years ago and last year, you're still getting a bat that's going to hit 30 home runs, drive at 100. He's a pretty good on-base guy, doesn't swing and miss at a lot of bad pitches. And again, I'm not a huge intangibles guy. I understand the way the game is now with a lot of the metrics and the analytics. And you know, these glue guys and clubhouse guys don't really necessarily move the needle, and it's kind of been thrown out by a lot of people. But I do feel there is an element to him that will be tangible that you will see this year. I really do.
I like the fact that he's comfortable in the middle of the order, and that's exactly what the Cardinals need. In terms of the Marlins, you know, talking to the Cardinals, they seem frustrated with how the talks went and how maybe things were changed on the fly. And I talked to some guys associated with other teams too, and they felt the same way. Aside from the fact that the Marlins had to shed a lot of payroll, they've taken some hits just in the way they went about it, haven't they?
With Ozuna or Stanton? Are we talking about Stanton?
All of the above.
Okay. You know, I haven't, you'd have to, that's information that I haven't gotten yet. So you'll have to give me more time on that for my next appearance 2 years from now, whenever that is. But I haven't heard any negativity in terms of the Ozuna trade. I did hear a lot with the Stanton trade, as I'm sure everybody else did. And initially I had heard it from the Giants. I had heard that the Giants kind of felt a little bit duped over how it was handled. Initially, I had heard that it was the Marlins, and then the comments that were made by the Giants were a little bit more directed toward the agent. And then I kind of circled back, and, you know, you got to piece these things together and think to yourself, well, it wouldn't be really in the Giants or the Cardinals' wisest idea to throw the Marlins under the bus, knowing that they have to deal with them. And simply put, the Cardinals did the right thing. They knew who the Marlins targeted. They went right back in, put their head down, and said, hey, look, even if we felt things didn't go down the right way, we got to go in and get the guy that we want. To me, outside of J.D. Martinez, the most available hitter out there in the outfield was Ozuna, and I thought they did a really good job of getting him. The return that the Marlins are going to get, I know Sandy Alcantara, I had him in the deal initially with the Cardinals, of course. Magnura Sierra, I mean, Jim Matheny talked about him last year when he was in Miami, like this kid was going to be a phenomenal player, so I'm excited to see him play. And then the other two kids are a little bit of a work in progress. I think the Marlins did okay. It's more of the sum of the parts at this point, as opposed to getting, like, the number one prospect in baseball. They're doing this by basically grabbing a bunch of young players, as many as they can, and inevitably, I know this for a fact, the most important thing for the Marlins moving forward is that June draft. That is the huge, huge element that's not being talked about for the next 2 or 3 years. The Marlins have to hit on the draft picks. They got to do it.
We saw Derek Jeter at the Dolphins game instead of at the winter meetings earlier this week. Has he made an appearance yet? Has he come out and talked? And how's that going over down there in South Florida?
Yeah, it's been a lot of negativity for sure. And some of the word is optics. You know, some of the optics have clearly not been good. And him being, I suppose, at the Dolphins game instead of the winter meetings is a plausible thing to think he shouldn't have done that, of course. Don Mattingly said in an interview yesterday that some of the things that Derek has done, you know, maybe if he had to do it all over again, maybe he would change some things, maybe not in terms of the decisions, but maybe how they were handled. And certainly that could be the case. But the way that I look at it is this is going to be judged on the field. It's going to be judged by wins and losses, not so much this year or maybe even next year, but the year after that. And outside of letting go of their broadcaster, Rich Waltz, who to me is a good friend and a fantastic bro, I was very disappointed to see that. But outside of that, you got to look deeper a little bit into some of these stories and get the truth, because there's been a lot of stuff out there that simply isn't true. And some of the things do make more sense when you look deeper into them. It would be too long for me to get into all of them, but I'm at this point, in terms of the baseball operations, willing to give this time before I'm going to judge. He's been on the job for a few months, not a few years, so I'm going to wait.
I'm hopeful that the Cardinals do more in terms of upgrading offensively, but I am certain that they're going to add another bullpen piece. I'm not sure what that is.
Right.
But from your perspective, as an opponent, as a guy who sees the Cardinals, you know, a lot during spring training and also during the regular season, with the addition of Ozuna and with another piece to the bullpen, do you think the Cardinals are quantifiably much better now than they were last year? And if so, how much better? Are they back to being contenders in the Central, in your opinion? If that's the way it goes.
I think that Ozuna is going to add a lot offensively, and he is a big missing piece to what they, you know, they counted obviously on Piscotty last year. It was unfortunate to see everything that happened, and man, class act by the Cardinals trying to get him out west. I had actually heard that they contacted the Giants too to see if there was a fit there, but the Giants simply just don't have the pieces to give back for Piscotty. But you know, hopefully that works out for him. I think if I am the Cardinals, the way that I view this is the addition of someone in the ninth inning, because O was so good 2 years ago, they didn't have to worry about it. I think getting Colome, to me, that is the right move, without a doubt. I am just so hesitant in this day and age to spend any money on a closer. I mean, I follow this, and of course I cover fantasy baseball a ton. The turnover in the ninth inning amongst Major League Baseball you simply do not have guys who last 3 years anymore. It's 1 or 2 years and they flame out. Look at the Giants. They spent all this money on Melanson last year. It didn't work out at all. So a trade, to me, is the right way to go. And if Colome is available, that's the guy that I would love to see in the ninth inning. And now they have Gregerson, of course. They'll add a couple pieces to that. As far as offensively, I think that Carpenter will play third or first, and what the Cardinals will do is find another player to either play first or third. I don't know who that is. We're hearing, you know, Machado's name in there. We've heard Longoria's name in there. I wouldn't rule out Logan Morrison getting a one-year or two-year deal playing first base for them and putting Carpenter back to third. I think one more piece will come, but I think the Cardinals will be wise about it and not unload all these prospects for Machado or Longoria. To me, I think it's more of a stopgap. I think they got the offensive piece they needed in Ozuna.
And you kind of left out Jed Jerko and Jose Martinez from the corner spots. I know they're not big names that move the needle, but they were two of the better hitters they had the last couple of years, or Martinez last year, anyway.
Yeah, Jed I talked to before the year, and I got the sense that he was, I mean, it's hard to say this, but I got the sense he may have been a little surprised with the year that he had 2 years ago. But look, he's still a viable hitter in that lineup. To me, he doesn't move the needle. I know Jose Martinez did play well, and maybe he will get some more playing time. He had a fantastic spring last year. He's like the best player in all of spring training. I don't see that being enough, though. I still see them going out and getting someone. They've pieced it together through the years with Brandon Moss and Matt Adams and putting Matt Holliday at first base. And I still see another free agent addition or trade coming. I don't know that they're going to be comfortable going into the season. But again, you guys have a better read on this than me. That's just kind of my feeling.
Yeah, I just saw Ken Rosenthal tweet a couple of minutes ago, Craig, that the Cardinals are aggressively pursuing Josh Donaldson. But the Blue Jays remain, as he said, disciplined to move Donaldson, planning to compete in 2018. And the asking price is high. No indication a deal is close. And then also regarding Piscotty, Susan Slusser of the San Francisco Chronicle now saying the deal has hit a snag between the two teams.
Really?
And so the Cardinals
and
A's are trying to...
Keep an eye on the Giants with that. Keep an eye on the Giants with that. Listen, the Cardinals, boy, what an incredible group of people they are to try to get him to the Bay Area. I think that is the destination for him. I don't see... In a perfect world, you wouldn't do this, and maybe you would keep him and try and figure out a way to make it work. And by the way, Tommy Pham, who had an unbelievable year last year, has been, you know, let's be honest, has been hurt a lot. Maybe you keep Piscotty as your fourth guy, or you find some sort of rotation. Maybe you move Piscotty and play him somewhere else. But there, with his personal situation, which is really unfortunate, they're trying to do the right thing. I think inevitably he will be moved, and now I would, if it is in Oakland, then I would keep San Francisco in the mix there because I know they did have interest.
Craig, we have really enjoyed talking to you throughout this whole process. I think you really truly were with us about six times over the last 2 weeks, and you've been ahead of the curve on the Stanton thing from the get-go. You broke the Ozuna trade news yesterday, and we've just enjoyed talking to you as well. And man, nobody gives better percentages than Craig Mish, Doug. Nobody.
Yeah, 25% chance I'll be back on the show.
See, there it is. You can be better right now, 4-1 play.
And I want to say to Jim also, it was really nice talking to you, man. I really appreciate all the kind words. And it was great meeting all everyone, all the media and all the fans who have been so supportive of me covering the Cardinals. And there are so many people who cover the Cardinals on a daily basis who do it better than me. And I've just kind of been along for the ride, and it's really been a fun one. And I appreciate everything that everyone has done. I read every comment on social media, and it means a lot, and it has meant a lot. So thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you. It was great, gentlemen. It was great meeting.
All right, thank you, Mish.
Thank you, Craig.
Craig.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Thanks again.
Right back at you, sir. Right. Thank you. That is Craig Mish with us here on the Appliances Counterfeit.
And I found out we go way back with some sort of connection. There was an incident in a hotel many years ago between players, and Craig Mish broke that story.
You were asking me if he was the person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, I don't remember. I don't know.
Yeah. And that was him. I asked him about it, and he said
that was a few years ago.
He's been doing this for a long time.
Just put him on the map, Jack.
And he's got a connection, to the Cardinals because his dad used to take him to games and stuff. So, yeah, he's got a connection to the Cardinals, too, but he's done a very good job.
Guys, if we have learned anything throughout all of this, it's that Craig Mish is legit, credible, level-headed, professional. Props to him and you guys. For finding him. That's from the 916. Doug, where's the 916?
I don't know where it is.
It's not like we found Mish either. It's not like, hey,
we discover talent here.
Hey, kid.
That's what we do.
I was trying to figure out who he sounds like. Why?
Chris Trevino. We were getting a bunch of texts that he sounds like Chris Trevino.
I was thinking John Sloan.
That's Sacramento 916.
Sacramento listening in. We're big in Sacramento. People love the Kings talk.
Think about what he just said. Because we saw him tweeting... We found him.
That's right. Yeah,
he was in a curb somewhere, and we said, come, get a hot meal.
Got someone who can kill 10 minutes for us, 15 maybe.
That's how I found Katrina Jade. So we did questions from the audience. It's up on the Inside STL Podcast Network. Randall Grichik
It's a good one. It's fun.
Yes. Is up on the Cat Chat. Subscribe to these shows.
Call me
shows.
T-Cat.
That's right. On the Inside STL Podcast Network, iTunes. 85% of the listens to the Cat, iTunes.
Is that right?
Yeah. I was surprised by it being that high. Google Play, second. Stitcher's like behind like a bunch of different platforms.
Yeah, but if it's not up on Stitcher, I hear about it on
That's
social
right.
media.
That's right. The Stitcher people are passionate. And questions from the audience, Doug. You know, it's almost time for Nog. And
I don't drink Nog.
And the celebration round, the Yuletide, John Vaughn handing out gifts. And so one of the questions from the audience, which you can now listen to, it's up, was your favorite Christmas memory. Here is Iggy telling me and the Plowhawk yesterday about his favorite Christmas memory.
No, all right, hit the lever, Plow.
Christmas Eve, relatives would come over, aunts, uncles, cousins. Almost made out with a cousin one time. I didn't know she was my cousin. We have so many.
Wow. No. I feel like that needs to be tended to right now.
That's so...
No, I was just...
And you so just saying, Plowhawk saying it's just so hot. I don't know what is creepier.
That I almost made out with a cousin or Plowsy likes it. No, I mean, I have so many cousins. And I just met her one time and... Actually, I did make out with her. We were going to go further until we started talking about our families, and I realized she was a second cousin.
Mm. Oh, that's legal. Mm-hmm. That's legal.
But anyway,
this is an answer again to the Christmas so gift question.
All right, can I just say this?
Questions from the audience.
Second cousin, it's legal. I think you can even marry a second cousin.
I got to tip my cap to you because you have a niche, and some people are happy to sit back and just, you know, accept their place. You constantly go out there and push the creep envelope, okay?
Well, I don't do it purposely.
Here's the line for creepiness, and you're going to keep pushing it and pushing it. So for that... I give you multiple bell rings and a tip of the cap.
Now, why is that creepy, though?
When you were at a family Christmas function and you tried to get lucky.
Oh, this was... I didn't even know she was a cousin.
It was... You said all the family was over.
Well, I was talking. This is another one. There were two cousins, actually. One that I almost made out with and one I did make out
when
with.
When you have a Christmas get-together and the relatives are all coming over, I just think it's hands-off. We're not going to try to.
Is that a rule in your family?
Yeah, we're not going to try to hook up with anybody. Can I, here comes the relatives. We're not hooking up with anybody.
Can look, I cross examine? If they're a second cousin and they're good looking, why do I care?
Do we have time to cross examine momentarily? Because your defense is I didn't know she was a cousin. So it is a holiday. You're talking about Christmas memories. You said yourself you have a lot of cousins, and the whole family would come over. So did it dawn on you, sir, that at one of these family gatherings, that the person you didn't know was a cousin, actually you kind of knew she was a family member because it was, quote unquote, a family gathering.
I think I said friends too. Mm.
Because she has romantic, she has family, and she has also sexy modes.
She had all three. My dad invites everybody over. Neighbors, friends sure. from Charcoal House. I mean, there's so many people over on Christmas Eve that there's...
Charcoal House.
You're always welcome.
Well, that's where my dad worked, and he would invite friends that would come into Charcoal House. He invited everybody.
Sure.
I mean, there's family there, but there's also people I don't know.
Oh.
And she was very attractive. We had a few cocktails. And
what happened then?
Can you hear me good?
Or you were like in the rumpus room or something?
In a living room, maybe.
There's other relatives around you. Doesn't somebody, an uncle or something, start waving his hand? No, no, that's a no-go area.
Maybe I went out to smoke. I don't remember where it was.
And she went with you.
Mm. Iggy, it's official. You are no longer welcome to join us on our vacation next summer. That's from the Swinghaven board member.
I mean, that, I feel like the show advanced at that moment.
You know, and if I may, and maybe this one's just on me, but the fact that you had cocktails with, like, you didn't have a couple of drinks. You call them cocktails. To me, makes the whole scenario even creepier.
Why? That's more classy, a cocktail, isn't it?
No, it's a drink. Just calling it a cocktail doesn't make it any more classy.
We had...
Especially when you're about to suck face with your cousin.
Doug, do you agree that as long as there's no penetration, cousins are in play? Thanks.
No.
That's from the hipster of Tower
Gross. No.
Okay, gotta go now.
Well, I agree with that.
It is illegal to marry a first cousin.
Did I say I married her?
No, I believe it is okay with a second cousin.
Well, the fact is when you talk about first cousins.
Hold on, let me listen up on
this. You're sharing a lot of DNA.
Now that you're laying down the law, let me know about first cousins.
You're sharing a lot of DNA.
No, you're talking about if you have sex with a first cousin. Making out is no big deal.
With a cousin? With a first cousin?
Classic.
This is where... This is where an attorney would turn to the jury after you just said, and it's no big deal making out with the first cousin, and go, I think we all get the picture. You may step down. You did it. You knew what you were doing. And it's part of that creep envelope that you just push and push and push. Hey, I respect that.
Hey, our dads are brothers. What are you drinking, gal? Mind if I get you a cocktail?
Doug,
that's a little creepy.
We have we have Luke Gregerson joining us. We'll ask him about his favorite Christmas memory as well. Because, again, remember, that was the question, your favorite Christmas memory.
Right.
I told the story of last year, Anna Marie surprising me, letting me know on December 25th or 7th that there was a Christmas gift she got to give me. And that's when she told me she was pregnant, incredibly emotional. And then Iggy revealed that it was his Christmas gift was his cousin. And making out with his cousin, and they found that they had the same family members, and that's when they stopped before going too far.
Well, it's not. Well, wait.
Same line of questioning.
No, I did go further, and I said my favorite Christmas was the dog I got. So I answered the question. Yeah. I was just trying to tie it into Christmas was big in the Strode family.
Sure.
Christmas Eve was huge. Lots of friends, family, relatives.
But now you changed the order.
And then I just threw
earlier.
The cousin
I mean,
in there because...
Like you're trying to cover...
There is no secret
put
plan.
Put friends first and family.
Yes. And then I told the story about getting a Basset Hound puppy.
Right.
He likes feet!
Yeah, that was my favorite
I just
Christmas
don't see anything wrong with it. What can I say?
With the dog, no, there's nothing wrong with getting Basset Hound. They dig. They go out in the backyard and dig holes.
I only had him for a few months, and then I got the job in Bermuda, and I would have had to quarantine him for 6 months, and I didn't want to do that.
What'd you do with him?
I gave him to a neighbor that had a farm, and they took him.
Oh, good.
Well, that really must.
Hey, well, guys, what was that stay camp? Woke.
Instead of a Christmas stocking, it just seems like you should just hang up a dirty tube sock on the mantle.
So we'll ask Luke Gregerson about his favorite.
Some people like some things. Some people don't like other things.
So I was sitting after we did questions from the audience in the podcast studio yesterday, the homeloanexpert.com podcast studio, and I was able to witness the Sea Monster constructing a commercial, and it's the new Salt and Smoke commercial. Doug, would you like to hear it?
Oh, sure.
I would.
Let's take a listen, Plowhawk.
All right.
Oh, hey.
Let's get down to some business, Hill.
This is Tom from Salt and Smoke.
Okay.
Have you been to the Hamptons? It's cool. Jay-Z and stuff.
That's right.
You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Salt and Smoke now also has happy hour with $2 shots and barbecue sliders from 9 to 11 or 12 p.m. post Meridian.
You said that with a straight face.
After Meridian.
Doug, that is the newest commercial from Tom and the Sea Monster.
He's a genius.
After Meridian. It's AM.
He is a genius.
Yeah, it's a nice spot.
So Tom just comes in and he does his lines, but it's the Sea Monster who then really brings it into the end zone with the drops. And Tom says, Paint me like one of your French girls. And he lets the Sea Monster have that creative freedom.
Huh.
Sea Monster's great.
The best was that you had barbecue back there. You didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Gus Johnson. Ohio State, Wisconsin?
What brought that up during the middle of a football broadcast?
Someone had barbecue back there.
And didn't invite him.
I think it's self-explanatory. Right. It seems like you want to pick on Gus now.
I just wonder how that comes up in a football play-by-play.
Doug, let's go to the appliance discounter phone lines and talk Salt and Smoke and your favorite cousin to hook up with.
Oops. Who's that?
Big Al.
Oh, hello, Al.
Hi, Big Al.
What's up, Timmy? Timmy, did you see my grandbaby?
Mm. Doug?
Well, he asked you. I didn't. I didn't see it.
I know, but Tim did. I sent it to the text line.
Big Al, I appreciate the sentiment, but you have to realize we get hundreds and hundreds of texts per show, so I don't really find it.
I'll send him 100 more times. You know how I roll. Hey, you guys going to be there tonight?
At the show we're hosting? I believe so.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, planning.
All right, I'm bringing Christmas presents from us for all you guys.
Oh, yeah. What a gesture.
And for Jamer. Jamer's got to have
Christmas food. He doesn't play on the Blues third line.
Yeah, I know. And so I got presents for all you guys, and my grandbaby was born last night, 8.3, Cecilia Ray CC, and she is cute as a button, boys.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Absolutely. It's a new day in the Big Al household. So I'll send you the picture of her mean mug. She's already ready to go. I sent it to Jansen. I said, you want to go? And her face is all puffed out, ready to throw down. And Uncle Tony Twitt said, nobody will mess with my baby. So, all you guys, don't mess with my granddaughter.
Doug, that's
you. She'll mess you up and all of them behind him. So, see you boys tonight.
All right, Al.
Bye, Al. We'll be there.
He thought we were going to, there was a chance that we might go and make trouble for this newborn baby.
Or no show, the show we're hosting.
Right. Okay.
Guys, Big Al needs to roll his car off a cliff. Thanks. That's from the 217.
He's proud of that grandbaby.
Best Christmas present Al could give us is to down a gallon of bleach and take a header into a wood chipper.
Oh, no.
Congrats on the grandkid, though. Thanks.
Header into a wood chipper.
Doug
that'd be rough.
The East Side Lover.
That'd be rough to go head first into the chipper.
That'd hurt.
They'd suck you right in there, too. Right into.
Didn't that happen in Fargo?
It happened in St. Louis a couple years ago.
He got thrown into a wood chipper?
Yeah.
Yeah, Fargo. He was having trouble with some of the limbs.
Doug?
I didn't see Fargo.
Doesn't make the same sound as wood either.
I wouldn't think so. It probably wouldn't make much sound at all.
A guy like you should not have a wood chipper.
I don't have one.
Good. Because I think you would be
a candidate
for an accident.
You can't wear long sleeves around there because it'll pull you in by, if it hooks onto a shirt, it'll pull you right in by that. Boy, that's a downer conversation.
Moner. Well, here's Mike Francesa then.
Maybe he'll pick us up a little bit.
He only has two shows left. And that's unfortunate for us because I don't know how we're going to fill our show.
Well, we're going to keep playing old clips like we have for the last year and a half.
But here's Mike taking a call. And I gather there was an issue with the caller continued to call him Michael.
Hit the labor, Plowsy.
Hello, Michael.
What's up?
Michael, I'm surprised that Noah Syndergaard got a pass for turning down pitching for the USA. I mean, this is close to the baseball Olympics as we have, and as I'm sure you watched most of the games, how big of a deal this actually was.
What, the WBC?
Yes.
I wouldn't watch it if it was in my backyard. There's nothing patriotic about it. There's nothing real
patriotic?
About it. Nothing.
Michael, no,
that's good. That event is a joke.
Angle, Michael.
First of all, nobody watches it. Nobody watches it.
Michael, come on.
How many times are you going to say Michael? Nobody watches it. Nobody. Go look at the ratings. Nobody watched it.
No.
Nobody watched it.
All right, but
is it a
patriotic kind of thing?
How is it patriotic? You were playing against a bunch of Americans.
Michael, but the point is...
Wait a second, what team were you excited about?
Michael,
what team were you excited about?
That's what it was, Mike.
What team were you excited about?
What team? That's World's gonna root.
All right, who were you playing against in the final?
Michael.
What team were you playing against in the final?
Michael.
Don't say Michael again. I'm hanging up on you. Don't say it again. What team did you play in the final?
Michael.
I warned you because you don't know who you played in the final. That's how thrilled you were at that event. You didn't even know who they played against.
Michael.
You may step down, guy that calls him Michael. He won that one.
Nobody watched.
I actually watched it. I kind of enjoyed watching it.
Doug, unfortunately, another caller called in, and he had an issue with his phone, and it didn't
go well for him. All right, let's take a listen. Hit the lever, Plowsy.
If you think any is made as far as rotation decisions or lineup decisions without it being from the top or the bottom of the organization, from the general manager right through the entire organization, it happens now. Everywhere. No manager makes that by himself anymore, those decisions. Nobody is doing that in baseball. That has changed radically in baseball. Every general manager is involved, probably more so than they should. Okay?
We've played
the whole motivation of the Yankees is to get to the bullpen. That's all they think about, getting to the bullpen. So as soon as CeCe gets past the fifth inning, and he almost got pulled, he was one batter from being removed in the third. If Ramirez had gotten a hit in the third, he would have been out of the game in the third inning. In the second inning, he would have been out of the game. The Chapman thing is going to be a very big problem inside that team, what he did. He should be quiet. He hasn't even done a of this shit.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, that's the kind of thing that it depends upon. That move is the kind of move
what is that
will help him his whole career. I mean, that's one that you talk about forever. I mean, just taste it.
This was on the air?
More than my whole career. I mean, certain things that happen that you can't overcome, that's one of them right there that will haunt him. But the Yankees had a chance to win this series if they'd gotten back one. That would be...
So what are you doing on a Saturday driving around? You hanging out with
I
kids?
Had to take my daughter to golf lessons. I have to go to racing, so I was going to pick her up.
All right, Mike. Good talking to you, my friend. The phone is acting very, very crazy, I must say. That's Mike Frances, who was kind enough to call in. What is up with that phone?
How does that happen? Is one of his fingers accidentally hitting one of the numbers? Is that what that is?
And we have played, I think, both of those clips previously. But it's his last
tribute,
week.
It's a tribute, Doug.
Yeah, so.
It's a tribute.
Best of sort of thing.
A tribute.
I don't think I've ever heard that on a conversation with anyone I've ever had before. It was slightly annoying. No, I hope he got through it all right.
Doug, do you know anything about the STL tax man at all?
Well, yeah, I do. Yeah, you're talking about the tax lawyer, and I believe you're referencing Mark Milton.
That's who I'm referencing,
yeah.
Actually.
Well, if you have any problems with the IRS at all, maybe unfiled tax returns keeping you up at night, and they will do that. If you're facing tax liens, maybe bank levies or wage garnishments, there's a guy you need to know, and that guy is former Department of Justice Tax Division attorney Mark Milton. He is a friend of the show, and he will take care of you if you have any tax problems at all. Here's his website, stltaxlawyer.com. Mark Milton and stltaxlawyer.com provide a local and holistic approach to tax resolution. So don't be sucked into the out-of-town tax resolution groups you hear on TV and the radio. Don't get sucked in by that. Call Mark Milton. If you have IRS problems, visit stltaxlawyer.com today, and Mark Milton will take care of you. Remember, the choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.
Mark Milton just dropped by holiday gifts, Doug. Take
oh, a look he did? At this. Even as we speak?
As we speak. Now, there's a couple of boxes of cigarettes. I guess this is for you and the cat?
Yeah, no. Marlboro. Yeah, that's
Iggy,
our brand.
Iggy.
Do this, Iggy.
No, I don't smoke Marlboro. Those are Plowsy.
Yeah, I'll take them.
Oh, what a treat for Plowsy.
To Doug from the STL Tax Lawyer.
Wow, that's nice. It looks like
all kinds of things here.
Wow.
To Iggy
really
from the STL
treat.
Tax Lawyer.
Oh, he
to
did not
Charlie
expect
from the
that.
STL Tax Lawyer. Let me get right here to Jennings from the STL Tax Lawyer, and then a bottle of red.
Oh, there it
to
is.
To the cat from the STL Tax
Lawyer.
Oh,
what a treat.
Bottle of red. I'm going to open it up. What do you think this is?
Golf balls.
I think they might be. Yeah, Pro V1s.
Yeah. You got a dozen, we got a sleeve.
That's how I knew they were golf balls, but looking at the way
and
the others were packed.
And you couldn't be happier with it.
Anything I get, I'm happy with. It's the thought that counts. I don't care what it is. I would have taken the cigarette. I'll take the wine.
I love the smokes.
I'll take the wrapping paper.
Pro V1s.
Are they really? What a treat.
That's like a $40 gift.
Jack. Thank you, Mark Milton.
If they were on sale, yeah.
Justice Tax Division Attorney.
Well, the Cardinals have a brand new reliever, and he is sitting on hold while we open presents, which has to be
bad form.
Which just has to be perfect on our end. Luke Gregerson joins us here.
You may
on
try to nullify the trade
phone lines. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Louis, sir.
Appreciate it. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, you were originally with the Cardinal organization, drafted by the Cardinals 2006. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. I never made the big leagues with them, but I did all the time in the minors.
When you look at the opportunity you have with the Cardinals, where they're not exactly sure how they are going to use you, do you have a preference? What are you being told in regard to how you'll be deployed?
We haven't really discussed it yet. As long as it's in the winning fashion, that's all I'm really concerned about.
When you walk into the clubhouse in spring training, do you come in with that World Series ring and just show it off a little bit?
Hey, I mean, you guys have been around long enough. You know we don't get those rings until the season starts.
Oh, Doug, yeah. Terrible question.
Maybe you had
Doug,
something already.
Question,
yeah, sorry. Man. All right.
When you look at last year, it wasn't as good as your previous seasons. There were more home runs that you gave up. We were talking to the Cardinals about looking you over, and they said really in terms of your numbers, everything was in line with the much better seasons, except the one thing that jumped out is you got taken deep a few more times, and they said in terms of the ERA, there was really a couple of outings that, that really hurt that cut category as well. How do you assess last season for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys nailed it on the head right there. I really feel like if you take away two, three games, I'm having a normal year pretty much. That I'm, you know, pretty typical to what I've had in the past. I just had a few extra games that were worse than others, and, you know, it just kind of got away from me a couple times. But I thought I did a good job bouncing back and you know, making quality pitches later on and working my way through the season. It could have been a lot worse, I promise you that.
How do you expect the Cardinals will use you? How do you see your role?
You know, I don't see it changing much different than what I've been. I've been, you know, this will be my 10th season in baseball, and I've been a high leverage pitcher my entire career ever since my very first year in the big leagues, and I don't see any reason why that would change now. But with that said, I feel like I'm ready to do whatever they need out of me. I just want to win, and that's why one of the reasons I signed here.
New Cardinal reliever Luke Gregerson, kind enough to join us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. He's with us on the Appliances Counter phone line. So if you don't mind, you're really only a month and a half, not even a month and a half removed from winning a world championship, and it was a classic World Series. What was it like going through some of those games, which will live in baseball history forever? I mean, like four or five of them were absolute classics, and I would imagine the emotional roller coaster for you and your teammates. What was that like sitting in the bullpen and not only, of course, participating, but being witness to history?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I know for myself that if I don't have an ulcer in my stomach right now, then I'm immune to them, because that was some of the most stressful baseball I've ever been a part of in my life. And not necessarily from an individual side, but sitting there watching and hoping and praying that all your teammates do well, and just feeling that sick to your stomach feeling, knowing that, like, hey, we need a big hit right now, and so-and-so's up to bat, and you just want them to do well so bad that you're sitting there just, you know, with angst and everything, and you're just nervous and excited at the same time. It's, like you said, it's an emotional roller coaster, but it was incredibly fun at the same time.
You've been a closer in the past, and the Cardinals talk about you in terms of just being a piece to solidify the bullpen and a guy who has closing experience. Right now, they're trying to secure another piece, which could be a closer. But if you were in that role, would you still be comfortable being at the tail end of games as a closer?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel like, you know, the difference when it comes to throwing the seventh or eighth or ninth are very minimal. If you can't get the game to the ninth, you have no need for a closer. So those guys in the middle are just as important, I feel like, and they have a tremendous weight on their shoulders to get that ball to, you know, to that last guy. So I know those last three outs can always be sometimes the hardest ones to get, but I feel like if you can't get it there anyway, it doesn't make it worth anything.
You had a big role in the World Baseball Classic, too. What was that experience like for you?
Different. I mean, it was different than, you know, the World Series and the playoff atmosphere. I would say similar in atmosphere style, but the way I was trying to describe it to guys was that it was almost like getting like a high school all-star team together. You know, young kids just all having fun playing baseball, and they're all really good at it. It was kind of like that feeling, you know, so like in your younger days when you were just a kid having fun playing baseball. That's kind of what that classic felt like.
You know, there's still a lot of free agent relievers on the market. There hadn't been a ton of movement to this point. You signed relatively early. Was it something about the Cardinals where you wanted to be part of them that went just beyond, you know, making sure you had the dollars where you wanted them?
Yeah, I mean, it was there was a handful of things that went into play in that decision. One was, I mean, the Cardinals are a world-class organization. They're always a winning team. Granted, they haven't been to the playoffs, I think, in the last 2 years, if I'm correct.
That's correct. Yeah.
But, I mean, if you look at what they did in the last two seasons when they didn't make it, they still battled and fought their butts off to get there, and they put good runs together. But they've always been a good winning organization. And I don't think that you're just going to keep them out of the playoffs for that long. And sometimes you just got to add a few more pieces to get them back in the mix, and I think that the Cardinals are doing that right now. And secondly, it was important to me to work my way back into the Midwest, being from Chicago. I'll be able to see my family a little bit more, and just I was excited about that. So being in the Midwest, being close to home, was a big factor for me as well.
So did you grow up a Cubs fan?
You know, I like them both. I was a baseball fan. I was a Chicago fan. I like all Chicago sports. I was a Cubs fan. I was a Sox fan. Whoever was winning, I wanted to root for them and wish them well. And so I went to all the – I was there for the playoff games for the Cubs. I was there for the playoff games for the White Sox. I was just a supporter. You know, I love baseball. I just loved watching it, and it was fun, something fun for me. So I didn't really have a favorite.
Blackhawks fan?
Oh, yeah, Big Hawks fan.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
that's a problem.
Okay, that's it's a bit of an issue.
Now we're going to have to drop out of that.
Right.
Ixnay on the Blackhawks, eh?
I apologize. You can't take that out of me. But.
Those Blues and Blackhawks, when you had the Chicago Stadium in the arena, man, that's about as intense as it got. You talk to the guys who played in that stuff. Woo! Cats and dogs. Was it the Bloody Sunday? Was that the one, Doug? Were there like 300 penalty minutes or something like that?
Yeah, that seems right.
The game's changed since then. There's too much fighting going out these days.
Not a lot of scraps.
Yeah, but they're fans, as a fan base, and I say this with all due respect, they come to St. Louis and they just mess up the place. They're belligerent is
what
they are.
They buy our tickets right out from under us.
Yeah.
Hey, they're dedicated fans. You can't blame them for that.
Do you know a lot of the Cardinal players currently on the roster? You're friendly with many of them, or are they... strangers for the most part.
Not too many. I played with Jerko in San Diego. I actually played with Tommy Pham in rookie ball when I was in St. Louis, in Johnson City. And then I just know like Dexter Fowler a little bit just from playing against him over the years in San Diego and Colorado. So that's about it.
I hear tell that you're close with Josh Donaldson. Is that accurate?
I mean, I wouldn't say close, no, but...
Then I hear tell inaccurately, Doug.
Yeah,
I
wasn't wrong.
Tim, you want to make up another thing you can ask him about?
So,
John
Carlos Stanton, a good friend.
Trouble,
what were your dealings like with Willie Mays? I don't know. I'm just spitballing now. I don't know. Well, so now that you're a member of the Cardinals, though, I would imagine. I mean, the Cardinals, I don't think a team's been more active at the winter meetings and the Cardinals. They're involved in every single player, it seems. Do you follow this and pulling for the Cardinals to acquire anybody in particular?
I don't know if there's one in particular I'm hoping for, but I just like to see a team that's involved, a team that's looking for ways to improve, ways to win, and I think that they're doing a really good job of that right now. And sometimes you go out there and you're aggressive with certain players and you don't get them. But, at least you go out there and you got to try and you got to try to mix things up a little bit.
And maybe you can put in a call to your close friend Josh Donaldson.
A good bunch from what we hear, what we read.
I don't know if you know Machado. We'd like him too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you'd like any of those big calls.
while you're enjoying your off season, if you can put in some phone calls, we certainly would appreciate it. Well, Luke, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Welcome back to the Cardinals, and we will see you down at spring training here in a couple months, man.
Sounds good, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Luke Gregerson with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I got it. The Seamaster texted me. This is my fault, of course. Gregerson played with Donaldson in Oakland. Played with Donald. He didn't say he was a good friend. That was the asshat hosting the show.
That's what we do. See, Doug asked the same question that I just asked.
I was
kind enough
golf
not
balls.
To say it. You made something up there. And so now, when we have future contact with Cardinals, our reputation precedes us. We are awful.
Yeah. Right.
And Doug got a better answer than you, guys.
Yeah, I was thinking, but Gregerson was being polite, and I'm like,
I was looking at the golf balls, I guess, when you asked your question.
Oh, you got Pro-V ones too, baby.
Yeah, these are really nice. Thank you.
Did Tim get more or the
Justice.
Same?
That's not the same. I don't like that. That bothers
tax
me.
Tax division attorney Mark Milton, thanks for the golf balls.
Belts all over my chest, bro. Also on the Four Seasons Penske Truck Captain's Log, Eddie McVay coming up here in a matter of moments with the Maggie O'Brien's Picks of the Week. I'm really doing well. 45% of my picks are hitting. So that's great.
You could flip a coin and do that well.
Mm. And then Kelly Chase. We will talk about whether or not the Cardinals should maybe flip Luke Gregerson at this point since he's a Hawks fan. Hawkey want wingy.
Mm. Boy, Chaser does take stuff like that personally. Why are they going out and they getting Blackhawks fan?
Didn't Kachuk into all kinds of wars on Facebook for wearing the jersey during a Cardinal playoff series?
No, the 2004 World Series, being from Boston.
Yeah, okay.
He wore a Sox hat.
And he got all kinds of
and
crap.
That became like a polarizing topic. And I'm like, he's from Boston.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to fans. You can't do that.
And I'm just like, and it's like Chris Long would occasionally tweet out something about like another NFL game. And then like a Blues fan would attack him for not watching that Blues game that was going on that Tuesday night against Columbus. And it's just like, yeah, it's just best not to say anything. So therefore, I respect Gregerson for saying he is a hockey fan. Hockey Doug, want wingy.
Best not to say anything or just not to care what random people think about you. I think that's the bigger point.
Walt was irritated by that.
He was?
Yeah, he's coming in for the podcast. We'll probably spend a good half hour on that.
Probably. Because
he probably will MF things now. And he tried to play it polite when he caught a lot of crap in 2004. Are you kidding me? I grew up in Boston. What do people want? Me to wear a Cardinal hat?
I love it.
He also ran Oshie out of here by calling him Furnace Face.
Yes, he did. We'd still have him.
All right, Doug, we got a break. Eddie McVay on the other side of the break. Kelly Chase in the 9 o'clock hour. Outstanding work by the Plow Iggy Monster here today to have Derek Gould live from the winter meetings. Craig Mish from the winter meetings and Luke Gregerson on the program. Email in as we're giving away two tickets to the Blues and Winnipeg Jets on Saturday. First place in the Central is on the line. Head on down to Scott Trade Center for what they're saying will be a Jim Dandy of a hockey game. I like that phrase, Jim.
Yeah, Dandy. It was pretty good. It's pretty good. They're going wild in the Mound City.
Did you see right the Shake Shack menu, Doug, get with the Mound City burger?
I saw something about that.
Isn't that great?
It's not that great. No, it's
does that confirm, though, that it's the Mound
City? I know that it's called the Mound City because of the Cahokia Mounds, but nobody here calls it the Mound City.
Have you been to Shake Shack?
No, Chris Gardner's been tweeting out updates as to whether or not there's a line around the block, and there's no longer a line around the block, and I'm thinking about maybe hitting it today.
It's really good. It's the burger.
Oh, you have gone to the new one?
No. I mean, not.
Which ones have you gone? I've gone to New York and Miami. And I think they're just more on the East Coast, are they not? I don't think he has them in L.A. or anything like that.
I'm thinking Washington and Atlanta. Does that sound right? I've had it twice or in two spots. And those seem to be it. Washington.
God, if I had a Shake Shack burger in front of me and an Olive and Oak burger in front of me, and I know you would say put a Village burger in there.
I would.
They must be known for the shakes as well, right?
I've never gotten a shake.
Never have either. The burgers are great. The fries are great. I mean, really great.
Something named Shake Shack. They better have great shakes.
All right, well, have a shake.
Danny Meyer County.
What are you telling us? What are you holding
to the
us?
Fire.
We're going to order what we want to order.
I want a chocolate shake with the burger. Okay, is that too much to ask at a place called the Shake
Shack?
Watch
this. Wash it down with a shake.
Boy.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's what I intend to do.
Do you ever feel like you need to wash something down?
Yes.
Yeah, I take a drink with almost every bite when I have lunch.
Because you're
or
washing it down.
Yes, almost
you're
every bite,
boy.
Yeah, I'll go
I'm
through.
As moist as a freshly baked
got nothing
Betty
to do
Crocker
with that.
Cake.
No, I'll have three or four glasses of water in one meal.
Yeah, so will I. I have a pitcher next to me the whole damn time.
Yeah, I need it.
Oh, we got a break. Eddie McVay with us coming up. It's Ryan Kelly.